just as I am, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about, with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, thy love unknown has broken every barrier down. Now to be thine, yea, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. This is Pastor Below, conducting our worship service online from Amazing Grace Lutheran Church, Green Bay, Wisconsin, on September 26, 2021. We begin our worship service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We bow our heads in prayer. We pray, Almighty God, send your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that he may rule and direct us according to your will, and comfort us in all our troubles and temptations. May he defend us from all error, and lead and keep us in the truth, so that we, being steadfast in the faith, may increase in love and Christian living. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and rules with you in the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Let us publicly confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father, almighty maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We direct our attention to the reading of the Old Testament scripture lesson for this Sunday, the 17th Sunday after Trinity, which is recorded in the book of Psalms, Psalm 119, verses 145 to 152. I cry out with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord. I will keep your statutes. I cry out to you, save me, and I will keep your testimonies. I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your word. My eyes are awake through the night watches, that I may meditate on your word. Hear my voice according to your loving kindness. O Lord, revive me according to your justice. They draw near who follow after wickedness. They are far from your law. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. Concerning your testimonies, I have known of old that you have founded them forever. Here ends the reading of the Old Testament scripture lesson. The epistle lesson, to which we direct our attention, is written in the epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Here ends the reading of the epistle. The Holy Gospel for this Sunday, the 17th Sunday after Trinity, is written in the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 14, verses 1 through 11. Now it happened, as he went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath, that they watched him closely. And behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus answering spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" But they kept silent. And he took him and healed him and let him go. Then he answered them, saying, "Which of you, having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit, will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day?" And they could not answer him regarding these things. So he told a parable to those who were invited, when he noted how they chose the best place, of saying to them, "When you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and him come and say to you, 'Give place to this man.' And then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, go up higher.' Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Here ends the reading of the Gospel. We continue with the sermon for this Sunday, the 17th Sunday after Trinity. "Unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." In the name of Jesus, the Son of God and the only Savior for sinners, dear fellow redeemed. In the book of Revelation, the Apostle John was instructed to write a special letter to each of the seven churches in Asia Minor. The first of those seven letters was to be written to the church in Ephesus in Asia Minor. It was to be written to a church which had left its first love. The church in Ephesus had received another letter or epistle of its own about 40 years earlier. It is known in Holy Scripture as St. Paul's Epistle to the Ephesians. It was written by the Apostle Paul while he was a prisoner in Rome. It is one of the richest and most loved epistles to Christians of every generation. Today, we turn our attention to that portion of the epistle that Paul wrote to the Ephesians, in which he speaks of Christian unity. Our text is the epistle lesson for this Sunday, Ephesians 4, verses 1 to 6, which was read to you just a short time ago. Please hear it once more. "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. The Christian unity about which the Apostle Paul is writing is a unity in faith. We are united in what we believe. The faith that unites us and keeps us together is a common faith in the one and only Lord. The foundation on which our common faith is built is the one Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the Apostle Paul wrote earlier in this epistle. You are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. As Christians, we are united with what we see. We remember the words of John the Baptist, who pointed to Jesus when he began his public ministry, and John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." We believe in the once crucified Christ, the resurrected Redeemer, the ascended Savior, and our ever-living Lord. We believe that he is the one and only Savior who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." If you want to call God your Father, then you must believe that Jesus is the Son of God and the only Savior for all sinners. We believe in one baptism by which our sins are washed away. In and through holy baptism, we were born again. We were born into the family of God. In holy baptism, we became children of the Heavenly Father. We are united in one big family, the family of the one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. The one true God is our Father. Christ is our brother, and we are brothers and sisters united in the faith, united in what we believe. We are united in believing in the only true God who exists. He is the God who spoke in Old Testament times to his people and said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And in the New Testament, we are told, "There is no other God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live." And then the apostle adds the words, "However, there is not in everyone that knowledge." There were two times when all the people on the earth believed in the one true God. The first time was when only Adam and Eve were on the earth and they had not sinned. The second time was when Noah, his wife, and their three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives, were in the ark on the floodwaters. Scripture clearly states that there were only eight people saved. Since then, everyone living has not known or believed in the one true God. In every generation, there have been those, and there are those now, who bow down before gods of their own making, gods of wood and stone, gods of silver and gold, gods of their own imagination, gods that do not exist, such as Baal in Old Testament times and Allah, who has become very prominent in our day, and a host of others. In contrast to such heathen gods, which do not exist, we are united in believing in the one and only true God. Because we believe in the one true God, who loved us and sent his Son to be our Savior, who loved us so much that he sacrificed himself on the altar of the cross to redeem and deliver us from sin, death, and hell, we are also united with one another in the bond of love. Our text is speaking about the real thing, true love. This is a love that is expressed not just in words, but in deeds. For example, the Apostle John wrote in his first epistle, "Whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him?" My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. This is a love that cannot remain hidden or be inactive. So within God's family, where true Christians love exists and is practiced, no one should be made to feel unwanted or unwelcome. No one should be made to feel lonely and forsaken. No one should be made to feel neglected and ignored. If we indeed are Christians, then our lives should live like Christians. The Apostle Paul pleads, "I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called." You are called a child of God, then live like a child of God. Show it with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. These, of course, are only a few of the major characteristics of a Christian. Lowliness, humility, showing respect for one another as a person, respect for one another's feelings and opinions. Gentleness, being understanding and sympathetic in dealing with one another. Long-suffering, having patience, not just putting up with one another, not insisting that there are only two ways to do everything, my way and the wrong way. Bearing with one another in love. This is a love that reaches out to those who are hurting and need help. It is the opposite of waiting and insisting that the other person must make the first move. At the end of Ephesians chapter 4, from which our text is taken, the apostle elaborates on these thoughts and other characteristics of a Christian. He writes, "Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." We should be totally honest with each other in what we say and what we do. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. If you become angry, do not add sin to sin. Settle it before the day sunsets. For by tomorrow it will be much worse and more difficult to deal with. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. We should work and earn an honest living. Scripture states, "If anyone will not work, neither shall he eat." Through the prophet Jeremiah, the Lord warns us, woe to him who builds his house by unrighteousness and his chambers by injustice, who uses his neighbor's service without wages and gives him nothing for his work. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. These words speak of tongue control. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Look at your life and ask yourself whether God is grieved or pleased by the way you live. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. These words speak of both tongue and temper control. Then the apostle closes the chapter with those beautiful words, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. What should be the motivating force and power in our lives? God's love in Christ. God so loved us that he forgave us. We too should be eager and willing to forgive those who sin against us. And when we do, our unity is restored and strengthened. As we go through life and follow our earthly calling, friends and acquaintances often are separated. People follow different jobs and occupations, and their paths part. After years, sometimes they meet again, and sometimes they don't. Sometimes if they do meet again, they seem to have little or nothing in common anymore. That should not happen in God's family. We have another bond. It is unity in hope. We are told in our text, you were called in one hope of your calling. At the end of this worship service, we will sing of this in a hymn. One is our calling, one our name. The end of all our hopes the same, a crown of life with thee. Our hope is to be with our Lord and Savior, and to be with our loved ones and with all the children of God in that place prepared for us by our Savior, who has gone on before us and who is coming again to take us to himself. That hope is built on what our Savior has done for us. We sing of that in another hymn. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. We must be on our guard so that we do not lose our hope and do not take our eyes off the grand and glorious goal of being with our Lord and Savior. Oh, it is true that at times we can become so involved with our earthly calling, with what we call making a living, that we neglect or even forget about our heavenly calling. We must keep our eyes on our course. How can we keep our eyes focused on our heavenly goal? We need the Holy Spirit, who works on our hearts through the Word of God and the sacraments. Through his Word, he touches our hearts. He shows us our sins and our many failures. He calls us to repentance and faith. He lifts our eyes to look to Calvary, to behold the price Christ paid to redeem us. He invites us to behold how much he loves us. And he assures us that we are forgiven and that indeed we have hope for time and for eternity. These blessings are ours by the grace of God, and they unite us in the common cause of sharing this good news with others. He asks us to share our faith, love, and hope. He says, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Our Lord knows that the unity that the Spirit creates may be disturbed, disrupted, or even destroyed. Therefore, he calls upon us to endeavor to keep that unity that is so essential to peace and harmony among the people of God. Peace and harmony are so important in every area of life, in the home, at school, at the place of work, in the country, and in the church. The devil laughs with unholy glee, and the devils clap their unholy wings whenever and wherever they can disrupt the peace and harmony in any of these areas. That's why we must emphasize the words, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Amen. We bow our heads in prayer. Almighty and everlasting God, you have sustained us all the days that we have lived. You have made yourself known to us in your holy word, and you have called us by the gospel to hope and peace in Jesus. You have brought us together for the worship of your name. Accept our thanks for your mercy and help us by the Holy Spirit to honor and glorify you. If any among us are still in the bondage of sin, may your goodness lead them to repentance and faith. If any have wandered from you, mercifully restore them. As you have blessed us in the past, so let your mercy be upon us evermore in the present and the future. Bless the ministrations of your servants at home and abroad, that by the power of your word, all unbelief and heresy may be kept from your church. Stir up the hearts and minds of your people for more vigorous faith, more earnestness of endeavor, more energy of self-consecration in the upbuilding of your kingdom. Hinder and suppress all bad influences that would undermine the order and peace of society. Remove from public office those who seek to hinder and destroy your church. Touch the hearts and consciences of people so that they will put forth greater efforts to end the violence, war, and bloodshed throughout the whole world. Protect and prosper all just government, all good laws, and righteous administration, so that your people may be enabled to serve you in quietness and peace. Touch the hearts of those who are in authority, so that they will maintain justice, peace, and good order, and defeat and punish wickedness and all evil doing. Bless the work and efforts of the many doctors, nurses, and caretakers of the sick and the suffering of both the young and the old, and protect us from the coronavirus pandemic. Bless all lawful occupations, that the laborer may have his reward, and impress upon the hearts of people everywhere their dependence upon you, the only true God, and touch the hearts of people everywhere and move them to seek the salvation where alone it can be found. Send forth your gracious help to all countries, cities, and people on whom the hand of affliction and suffering rests, and overrule those who seek to hurt and harm us, and even destroy us. Let not your anger come upon us, as our sins have deserved, but pardon our iniquities, heal our souls, and grant us our portion with your saints in glory, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord and Savior. Frustrate and bring to naught all of the evil plotting and planning throughout the world, which is being done by many arrogant and ungodly evil people, including a multitude of many evil politicians and people in positions of power, and the evil people who are working dishonestly through the various agencies of the news media, all of whom are attempting to destroy our soul-saving Christian faith and hope. If it is your good and gracious will, remove from office those who willfully, persistently, and stubbornly fail to fulfill their responsibilities. Strengthen our saving faith in Jesus, the only Savior for all sinners. Send us on our way rejoicing as your witnesses. Increase our joy of telling others about the one true God and about Jesus Christ, whom our Heavenly Father sent as the only Savior for all people. Move us to search and study your holy word diligently and prayerfully, as it is part of the life, which is the source for what is taught. Bless the work of all the faithful pastors and teachers of your holy word. Keep them faithful to the teaching of the truths which are revealed in both the law and the gospel. Moved by love for you and for the souls you have placed in their care, bring people to repentance and faith. Hear and answer our prayers according to your good and gracious will. We pray in our Savior's gracious name, who also taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the benediction of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Please join us each week online for a Christ-exalting worship service with scripture, readings, prayers, a sermon, and the benediction. God be with you till we meet again. By his counsel's guide uphold you. With his sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet, till we meet, till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet, till we meet. God be with you till we meet again. Amen.